When I was a boy in my house, it was the kids who had to take care of the dogs. We would feed them and water them, make sure things were all taken care of there. But sometimes stuff happened. And so my mom came in and said, "The gate's open, the dogs are gone. Ronnie left the gate." Ronnie left the gate open. I didn't do nothing. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. And really, I hadn't done it. Somebody had, and everybody just assumed it was me. And guess who got to go and, you know, look for the dogs all over the world, seemed like. And then there were other times where somebody'd be working on their bike or something and would, you know, sort of forget the wrenches outside. My dad's wrenches. And then it'd rain. And there'd be this big puddles of rust coming down. And then it'd be, "Ronnie, did you leave those wrenches out?" And, "Well, you know, but I didn't want to say so. And so, you know, I didn't do nothing." You see the difference? You see the difference between those two? Right? One, I really hadn't done anything and I didn't do nothing. And the other is like, I didn't do nothing. Right? There's a big difference, isn't there? Sometimes we're accused falsely, and other times we really did do stuff. It happens both ways, doesn't it? It happens both ways, and Paul was a little concerned about those kinds of things in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Take a look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As you might guess, in Corinth, 2,000 years ago almost, there were big problems with idolatry. It was something that most of the Corinthian people in the city did. And as Paul came and helped people understand who Jesus was and what he was all about, there were other things that they needed to learn. As they learned about Jesus, they learned that idolatry was not the way to go. And so in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." And so the rest of the chapter is talking about this issue of idolatry. And so when it comes down to verses 25, where he says, "Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, making no questions for conscience sake," what he was talking about was meat was often offered to idols and then sold in the market. And so you couldn't tell by obviously looking at the meat whether it had been offered to idols. So there was a question among the Corinthian believers, should I ask the person who is selling me the meat whether this was offered to idols or not? And Paul was saying, don't worry about it. It's not like you're worshiping the idol. You bought it in the meat market. It's just food. Whatever it's there that God has created to be eaten, don't worry about whether it's been offered to idols or not. This was about idol worship, and they didn't want to worship idols. And so they wanted to know, should we make really careful distinction? Paul says, no, don't worry about it. And then another question had come up in verse 28. But if anyone asks you, in verse 27, if any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. Again, the idea was you go to someone's house, maybe they're not a believer. Should you ask them, well, has this been offered to idols? Because you can't tell by looking at it. And so Paul was saying, don't worry. Don't worry. If it's good meat, eat it. If it's good food, partake. Don't worry about whether it's been offered to an idol or not, because the idol isn't anything special, and you're not going to be worshiping the idol if you eat this food. So in verse 28, he says, and if anyone says to you, though, now things change a little bit, but if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it. If you know it, if you know now for sure, then avoid it. So it was about this thing of eating foods offered to idols. And sometimes people want to say that this section is about eating clean or unclean food. That's not what the context is all about, is it? That's not what the issue was. Paul was not dealing with that. Clearly, he was not saying, if there's pork there, eat the pork. Don't worry about it. Because if you look at pork, you can tell the difference between pork and beefsteak, can't you? That wasn't what the issue was. The issue was foods offered to idols. And you couldn't tell that by looking. And so he was saying, don't worry about whether that beef has been offered to an idol or not, because you can't tell by looking. You're not worshiping the idol. Don't worry about it. He wasn't saying that suddenly things that from Genesis had been unclean are now suddenly okay. That's not where Paul was going with this. In fact, as he was there, the question was even, verse 27, if any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you. There was some question about whether they should even go to the house of someone who was not a believer. Because maybe if I go, then they'll give me food that's been offered to an idol. And that was a concern for them. And so there might have been some portion of the church, some people who were saying, just don't accept any invitations. But Paul is saying, that's not right. Don't worry about it. Because this is an opportunity for you to show the love of Christ. This is an opportunity for you to not discriminate against people who don't believe and just keep yourselves all together. It's just us. We're only going where they're believing like us. We're only going to associate with people who are like us, who believe like us, who think like us, who talk like us, who work like us. We're only going to be with those kind of people. Because the others, well, they're not as good. What? What? Didn't Jesus send us to seek and to save that which was lost? Absolutely. That's why we're here, to be His hands and feet going into all the world, right? And so Paul is saying, don't discriminate, accept invitations. In fact, in Luke chapter 11, verse 37, Jesus accepted an invitation to dinner even from a Pharisee. The Pharisees were trying to kill him, and he accepted an invitation to dinner. If Jesus isn't going to discriminate even against his enemies, should we discriminate against people who are just trying to be friendly and invite us over? Now, clearly you're going to want to tell them what you eat or don't eat ahead of time just to smooth the way, right? Just so you don't embarrass them, right? And so you can make that a good time to be with them. Clearly, if they're inviting you to their house, they want to be with you. They want to listen to you. They want to fellowship with you. And that is a golden opportunity for you to tell them about the Lord with more than just words, right? And then we are also bidden in Hebrews 13:2 to give invitations, to not be holding back because someone else doesn't believe like we do. Let's invite them anyway. And of course, Hebrews 13 is talking about you might entertain angels, right? You might entertain angels unawares. But is that the only reason we should invite someone? Because maybe this is an angel and I might get a brownie point. No, we're to be hospitable because that's the way of Christ. That's how Christ is, right? To be like Jesus, to entertain because we love others, because we want to help them, to bless them, to be with them. And so we have this opportunity to witness to them. Now, Paul also, at the same time, doesn't want them to be accused of eating things that are offered to idols because they're worshiping the idol. And so, he tells us in verse 28 that if someone should say, "This was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you." In other words, you see, it was quite common for the Jews to say, "Oh, those Christians, they just are worshiping idols too." And so if you're eating food that someone, perhaps a Jew, has told you has been offered to an idol, then you give them an occasion, right, to say, "See, we told you. We told them it was offered to an idol and they ate it anyway." And then again, for the sake of your host, what about that person who is not a believer, came to you, set this food before you, you found out it's offered to idols, and you eat it anyway? Now you're saying to that person, "It's okay. You can eat food that's offered to idols. It's no big deal." Ah, I don't think so. You see, we don't want to give occasion on either side to be ill spoken of, do we? We don't want to give that occasion to either one. We wish to be to them a saving influence on whichever side, don't we? And so that's what was going on. Those were the issues that were surrounding these verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It was not about clean or unclean meats. It was about how do we deal with other people? How do we deal with other people? You see, in verse 32, Paul says, "Give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greeks, or to the church of God." Maybe there were people in the church that said, "Oh, well, the pastor does that." And then they feel justified to do whatever, right? That argument's been used a lot, hasn't it? "Well, I saw the pastor had a Coke in his hand," right? "Well, I saw him down at such and such a place, and it was already dark, and it was Friday night." Right? Isn't that how it works? And so Paul is saying, no, don't give an offense to the Jew who wants to harm God's cause of spreading the message of Jesus. Don't give any impetus to those who have no relation at all to the church and want to justify anything they want to do, and help those in the church that are struggling to know What's the right thing to do? How should I live my life? So that all three groups will not have an offense. What would that be today? Might we say today that we shouldn't give offense to perhaps other denominations who are not yet understanding what the Sabbath is all about? And if we just go to them and hit them with the board in the head, probably isn't going to help, is it? And at the same time, we just don't go up to people who have no connection with Christ at all and say, oh, well, the Sabbath doesn't make any difference, right? We aren't going to do either one. And then for our other church members, we help each other to know how to keep the Sabbath, that we are careful as we do what God would have us do, right? Why? Because we love the Lord and we want to serve Him. And so we want to give no offense in either direction. You see, as Paul was talking about this, he continued in verse 33, saying, just as I also please all men in all things. What? Does that mean Paul just, you know, did whatever? Is that what he was talking about? No. He's talking about making sure that I don't offend someone. I don't want to give an offense. It's not that I'm trying to please what one person says and then have to scurry over here and please somebody else. No. He's saying I just don't want to give any reason for an offense to be taken. And so he goes on, not seeking my own profit. Huh. Not seeking my own profit. In other words, this isn't about me. This isn't about what's best for me. He says, no, but the profit of many, the profit of others, the profit that I can be to them as I show them what Jesus is like. Why? He says, that they may be saved. You see, this is about saving others. This is about being a blessing to others. This is about helping others to know Jesus. That's what this is about. And he continues that thought famously about three chapters later, doesn't he? About making it about others and not ourselves. You know chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, right? Right? Take a look with me at verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 13. You've read this many, many times. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Does not, what? Seek its own, right? Just what he said back in chapter 10. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. Thinks no evil. Might that be that it doesn't take offense? And verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And so Paul, all along, consistently is giving this message that it's not about me. I don't live for myself. I don't do these things, even if I understand that it's not going to be me worshiping an idol. I still won't do it if I know it's been offered to an idol, because I want to be kind to you. Why? Because Jesus would do the same. Jesus has love that put others in front of himself. Aren't you glad for that? Because it meant that he would go to the cross so you don't have to. It's so beautiful. Paul is saying, let's be a reflection of Jesus. Let's reflect him. Again, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, he gave the same message to those believers that we should put others first ahead of ourselves, not giving them offense. as we think about putting others first, you may have seen a clip from a baseball game here not too long ago where there was a young boy who was waiting eagerly for a baseball up in the stands, and as the baseball player ran by, he flipped the ball up into the stands but wasn't looking very carefully. He saw the little boy and he just flipped it toward him, and the little boy reached for it, but it was a little bit low and it bounced off the wall. Did you see that? It bounced off the wall, and somebody down there picked up the ball as it rolled down the aisle. He came over, he picked it up, and he turned around, and here's the little boy standing over here with a hat out, so he just put it in the hat and went on about it, watching the game. Unfortunately, the boy with the hat was not the same boy that was about to get the ball. And so the boy with the hat goes, woohoo! And he grabs the ball, he holds it up, and he runs up to his seat, and he's like to his friend, and he goes, woohoo, like this, and he's looking down there where he picked up the ball, and he sees the other boy, and immediately his face changes and he realizes, this was not meant for me. And he walked down and gave that ball to the other boy. It was quite the show, quite the show. That is the attitude that we are to have. We're taught by children sometimes, isn't it true? And it's funny because the boy's father had to be at home working on his car, and he says his phone started ringing and ringing and ringing because it just happened that the camera had caught this act. And so his father heard about these things, you know, and he was, you can guess, very pleased that his son had shown that kind of an attitude. We too can be without offense, without giving others a reason to be upset. That's what we're being here for. But now let's take the coin and turn it over for a moment. Let's look at the other side of the coin. Go with me to verse 29. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. In other words, we are supposed to look out for the other person's conscience. But then he goes on, for why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? How come I have to be judged by that? Verse 30, but if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I gave thanks? You see, very often we have a good justification for taking offense, don't we? Somebody comes to us and says, oh, sister, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, I'm perfectly justified in doing that. I am not doing anything wrong. I'm okay. I did what I should have done. I didn't mess up. Why are you blaming me? I'm perfectly fine. I gave thanks for this food. I don't worship idols. Why are you giving me a... Right? Don't we go there sometimes? Don't we go there sometimes? And we could take this kind of thing and make it all about me. I don't know why they're saying, and it's all about me. But that's not what we read in 1 Corinthians 13, is it? It's not what we found in the rest of this chapter even, that Paul is telling us it's not about you. It's about helping others to see Jesus. Mark chapter 12, verse 13. You remember the story. It was about that coin. That coin that the Jews brought to Jesus. And they said to him, so do I give this to Caesar to pay my tax? Do you remember? And chapter 12, verse 13 tells you why they brought that to him. They brought it to him because they wanted to take offense at his words. They wanted to catch him. They wanted to get him to say something they could take offense at. Well, you say we should pay money to Caesar. Well, clearly you're not God's follower. You see, they thought they could get him either way. They looked for an excuse to take offense with him. And this kind of thought manifests itself when we're suspicious of someone else, you know? Well, I was at church this week and the pastor, well, he didn't even say hello to me. He didn't even look at me or shake my hand or I'll bet he doesn't like me. I'll bet there's a lot of people he didn't like because I didn't see him shake her hand either. I'll bet he just isn't very friendly. And there it goes, doesn't it? Isn't that how it works? And we go that way. And it isn't even the pastor. Sometimes first elder or the head deacon or the kids that ran out of Sabbath school. It can be anything. And we'll just make stuff up. We just make it up. But that's not what I see here. That's not what I see here. That we are not to take offense. Take a look with me. Verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. And maybe that means even our thinking, how we think about others. Let's not take offense when there's none offered. Let's not offer offense where there doesn't need to be. We need both sides of this to be glorifying God, right? Finding a way to give glory to God. Perhaps you saw another article in the newspaper where they want to put up a cross at the 9/11 memorial and the atheists are taking offense. They want to find something to take offense at. That's not where we go. And at the same time, we shouldn't offer an offense. And so we shouldn't be making government pay for it, right? This should be telling the story of Jesus in a way that blesses everyone. That's what we're looking for, so that we're honoring God and loving our neighbor. That's what it's always about, isn't it? It's always about from the Garden of Eden through the Ten Commandments, where one tablet is honoring God and the other is loving our neighbor, right? That's what it's always been. That was the message of Jesus. Love to God and honor your neighbor, right? This is what it's been about all along. And so Paul says, given all that I've said so far, all that I've said, we don't want to worship idols. We want to honor God. We don't want to offend either the Jews or the Greeks or one another. We give that love to one another. He says, because of all of this I've discussed, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all. Do how much? Do all to the glory of God. Give no offense. Glory to God and giving no offense. You see how that's the same message over and over that the Lord has given us. Here it is one more time, that it's all about glory to God and loving one another. You see, the devil would like us to take our eyes off of the fact that there is a great controversy. There is a great controversy raging about us, a spiritual controversy, a spiritual warfare that's going on all around us. And brothers and sisters, Paul's telling us the warfare is not between you and the guy across the aisle. The great controversy is between Christ and Satan. That's what the great controversy is. And you and I have a chance by not giving offense, not taking offense, to be a witness for God in this great controversy. That's what it's all about. And we want to make it about me. Well, he offended me. Or, oh, he thinks I'm offended. It's not about me. It's not about that. The devil wants to take our eyes off of Jesus and start putting them on us. Forget it. It's about Jesus. That's what it's about. And when we start with the offense, we stop giving glory to God. And so this week, I'd like for you to kind of pay attention. Kind of pay attention a little bit as you go through your week. And think about what you're doing. As you're standing in front of that soda machine, you've put in your buck and a half. It's horrible, isn't it? A buck and a half now? You put in your buck and a half, and there's all these buttons. Which button are you going to push? You see, it's not about me. It's not about what I want to drink. But it's about those around me that might take what I'm doing in the wrong way. I might give offense. So just sort of pay attention to that this week. And then one more to pay attention. And that is, when somebody says something, or somebody does something, or maybe they didn't do something they should have, or and you feel it starting to rise, you know? Why? He shouldn't have. I ought to. Pay attention. Pay attention to that. Because that's the other side of it, being about me. Pay attention both ways and see. Because this week, make it to the glory of God and give no offense.